August. "Shall I tell you the people who referred me?" the mother was saying, speaking quickly, wishing to show her hand, but clearly trying to sound not pretentious, or worse, deluded about her own importance. "Janet Bergstrom, and Karen Ahn, and Sonia. But that's just the year ahead of Sadie. I don't know why I didn't call you earlier. We were traveling, and the kids have the summer off, and, you know, we try to preserve some sense of summers, of childhood. You know how that is." Here, she sighed, but fear sounded a high note in her throat. "But now it's back to school, and I was talking with Janet, and they're getting ready to take Jake off to Yale, and they're just so grateful to you, and I realized it's Sadie's year, now, so how can we get started? I mean, are you available? Are you free?" Anne felt a familiar twist in her belly. She'd already had her students for the year here in Chicago, and one girl commuting from Minnesota, as well as the set of kids she'd know only by their emailed essay drafts and teeth-pulling phone conversations, not to mention the classroom full of immigrants' children she volunteered with on the weekends. But Anne loved to feel in demand. Who didn't? And she imagined that behind this woman's trembling voice was a frightened, harried teenager whose life she might actually improve. Anne needed to hear more. Why did this woman think her daughter needed help getting into college? What were they expecting for her? "I realize we're very late," the mother added, the quiver in her voice nearly vibrating the phone in Anne's palm. "We're willing to account for that however we need to, you know, with extra hours or what have you." Most wealthy parents resorted at some point or another to cash. Tutors, counselors, crash courses, Anne. You couldn't begrudge them this. Newspapers were flogging the story of plummeting admissions rates, and it was true, the darling gates were narrower than ever before. Where was Harvard's regular admit rate now? 9%? 8%? Meanwhile, the kids, these broken-backed children, carted around their parents' ambition without any sense that they needn't end up in Cambridge, Massachusetts, or Providence, or New Haven, or anywhere else, really, to make a good life. Anne felt sorry for her students for the simple fact that their parents had hired her, a private college applications consultant. Who thought up such a thing? But she fancied herself able to turn it around, to help these kids out of their stupor and into a fabulous freshman year. And yes, it was true. Almost without exception, her students got in, year after year, most everywhere. The mother could be heard breathing on the line. Anne imagined she'd had her Damascene moment just that afternoon, probably at Starbucks, where it so often seemed to happen. Every August, Anne would see clutches of mothers standing by the milk and sugar, and she knew by their lowered heads and urgent tones, the high, hoarse, false laughs, that college applications were under discussion. Someone would mention college. The mother whose child had made it safely to the other side and was now loading up at Bed Bath & Beyond, while the father worked spider cables around the bumper of the SUV. And for the rest of them, the penny would drop. Their kids were the seniors now. Anne had seen their cheekbones tighten with the realization. It was what paid her bills, that anxiety. She'd drive a straw into her drink and return to the sidewalk to retrieve Mitchell, the sublime shepherd who was her only dependent, from his spot in the shade. The Starbucks moms made her sad. She didn't think consciously of the messiness of having children, but of the woman's shellfish-like bodies, their soft, pale bellies, ineffectually masked by nipped blazers and shiny flats. The fear that this awaited her was real. It was also a handy explanation for why she wasn't making anything happen in her own life yet, why at 27 she was dating a man who cheated like mad and earning her living working with high school kids on their college applications. It was a good living, though. Not as good as it could have been. One woman in New York City charged something like $15,000 for the package, which was absurd and made the work sound like it involved conveyor belts and cutting blades. But good. Every year, in late December, as the application deadlines were bearing down, Anne swore she would never do it again. And then, come spring, the phone calls came.